Here.
Thank you.
Sorry about that. You're welcome.
Okay. Adrian?
Here.
Mike?
Here.
Steve? Elise? Here. Jonathan? Wei Ling?
Here.
Melissa? Jason?
Here.
Dwayne? Diane?
Here.
Great. Thanks, everyone. We have a quorum. And I'm going to hand it over to Ms. Douglas to do our meeting norms.
So much. Hi, everybody. Just a quick reminder of our meeting norms. Public comment may be made on topics that relate to the school. Comment on non-agenda items happens at the beginning of the meeting. And after hearing a report, members of the public may also offer comments prior to the board discussion of that agenda item. Please sign up for public comment in the chat. We want to be sure to see all the signups, so please resist posting comments that are not related to signing up, especially when we're calling for public comment. You can sign up for public comment at any time prior to the conclusion of public comment for that agenda item. And you don't need to wait for public comment to be called for to sign up. For example, you can sign up now for a future agenda item just by indicating this in the chat. Public comment will be capped at 2 minutes per speaker. To be sure of hearing from a variety of people, minutes may not be transferred to other speakers. Staff will do our best to respond to chat comments throughout the meeting, but may not be able to respond to every single one. To be sure your comments are heard, please do sign up for public comment. Please remember that we are a community of choice comprised of people who care very deeply about the school. We may have different ideas about how to achieve our goals, and we may feel very passionately about our points of view. This needs to be a safe space for a variety of opinions. We respect the timid voices as well as the loud ones, and we address each other in a respectful manner to model good citizenship to our students. For clarification on the recording, board members and members of the public should please state their names prior to speaking. Also, this meeting is being recorded and the audio will be posted to our school website. Thank you.
Sorry, now we have our student leadership report from Nora.
Hi guys, happy late new year. I'm excited to see everyone and jump back into board activities. Everything school related is back in full force. There's not a lot of new developments since I last gave my report. Student leadership is working on making t-shirts for each grade level that are gonna be sold very shortly. We just had a Tuesday assembly where each club got to give an overview and hopefully that will draw in some new membership and give students new places to find community during this time. Students and teachers are continuing to make virtual learning work as well as possible. There have been some complaints around the 2-hour high school lunch break and then having to go back to Zoom for 2 hours in the afternoon, but some people also enjoy it, so it's kind of a per taste thing. Senior committees are organizing pictures for seniors, and a committee in the leadership class is taking up the yearbook as digital media stepped down from making it this year. There have been some questions around the position of artistic director for the school and if it will be filled and when that will happen, just some general wonderings about that. The hardest thing for students right now is getting all the information they need, even with emails and Google Classroom posts and parents contacting and in-class messages, things still slip and students still feel pretty in the dark. It's a hard thing to work around, and I feel like teachers and admin are doing everything they can to get information out there. It's just a concern that's been brought up to me, and I've just heard like, wait, when did they tell us that? Or like, wait, when did we have that meeting? So many times throughout this year. Thank you.
Thank you, Nora. Any questions on that report?
Yeah, hi, Nora, it's Mike. I couldn't hear what you said, a position being filled. I couldn't hear which position that was you were referring to.
The artistic director position that Mr. Trevisano held last year.
And oh, got it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you, Nora. Public comment on non-agenda items. I have one so far. Karen Morphin.
Hi, I have two possible future agenda items that I would like to present to the board. One is the fact that OSA does not have a student site council. We were approached by Stacy last year and also Romy to have a parent outreach. And when I say we, I mean the APT. We have not heard from this new administration or the board regarding this. I want to remind the board that a student site council is needed to be able to use some of the funds in the LCAP. Second request I have for a future topic of conversation is the fact that OSA does not have a CAC member with our CELPA. A CAC member is a member that represents the school with our special needs community and El Dorado Chatter CELPA. Historically, OSA has not had a CAC, but due to the concerns that APT and the APT pods have brought up in this semester, we feel that a CAC member should be looked into by the board and request more information with administration and the CELPA if needed. I also would like to offer myself, if you need more information in regards to this, we have contacted our CELPA and actually met with our local person to get more information, and she's open to come and talk to the board as well. And with that, I conclude my public comment on non-agenda items.
Thank you, Karen. Brad Erickson. I'm guessing you're on mute.
All right, yeah, Brad Erickson from the APT, the official parent organization, parent of an 11th grader. And I'd like to comment on the school accountability report card and ask that it be taken off of the consent items and be made open to a full discussion. There are a number of problems with it, with accuracy, and also it's oddly has erased, in contrast to last year's SARC, it has erased the APT, the official parent organization, and the PODS organization. And I find this kind of bizarre and anti-democratic and potentially silencing. That's all, thank you.
Okay, Tracy Thomas.
Thank you. Hello to everyone that is joining the meeting. I hope that my signal is strong as I'm currently traveling. My name is Tracy Thomas. For those who don't know, I am a member of class of 2012 theater department. Over the last, I would say 9 years, it'll be a year now, I started joining the APT meetings just to see what's going on at my school. And I would like to formally apologize for my absence over the last couple months. I know that the state of the school is still, it's still in a place of making sure the students are priority, but also as well the well-being of the teachers. So to everyone, parents, teachers, admin, thank you for supporting each other, and I hope that that continues. My second point is something that I had brought up about the same meeting that I had joined, and that is having a representative of the alumni community a part of the board. I hope that this is something that is still fresh in everyone's mind. We're not gone. We still want to be a part of the school. There's still a group out there who is organizing ourselves to make sure that we are capable of giving our support the best way that we can. And as a representative of that alumni association, I am happy to speak to anyone who wants to, you know, ask questions or has any suggestions. But my point still stands. I think having historical people who represent the OSA legacy committed to the board so that we can continue to improve the state of the school, especially during these times. Thank you once again.
Thank you, Tracy. So I'm going to pull the SARC out of the consent agenda. And so we'll still vote on it, but I want to make sure there's public comment and we can amend it. So is there anyone left? And Romy, you may be keeping track of this. Is there anyone else who wants to do public comment on non-agenda items if I pull the SARC and make it a specific agenda item?
I see on the list that Maury has public comment. Uma Joshi had a comment from a student to perhaps read into the record or put into the chat. Karen had something. Karen, I'm sorry, I don't know if you already went or if you posted this after.
I'm scheduled for SARC and other consent agenda.
Okay. So I just want to make sure to get everybody.
Okay.
Thank you. So I'm good. My request was to for SARC. So thank you, Elise.
Okay.
I was on there too. This is Paulina, but I'll wait for SARC.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. Josefina has her hand up.
Yeah, I just was going to request that we stop screen sharing because I would like to see the participants in the meeting. And right now I can only see everyone as they speak. Is that possible?
There we go.
Great. Thank you for that.
Okay. So is there anyone, Chris, yours is SARC?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Uma. Did you have a public comment?
I can go after the principal's report. I think mine is regarding that.
So okay, great. Okay, so public comment on non-agenda items is done. I'm gonna move to the consent agenda, pull the SARC, so we'll do it after the rest of the consent agenda. So we have the minutes and the OSA fiscal policy and procedural manual update. Is there any public comment on those two consent agenda items? Okay, is there any board discussion on that consent agenda? Okay, is there anyone who'd like to move to approve those two items in the consent agenda?
So moved.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
Thank you. Voting, Josefina?
Yes.
Adrian?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Elise, yes. Wei-Ling?
Yes.
Jason?
Yes.
Diane?
Yes.
Okay, so those items
passed. Elise, Steve Borger has joined and I vote yes.
Oh, as well. Great. Thank you, Steve. I didn't know you joined. Okay, now the SARC. So let's take public comment on the SARC. And let's start with Karen Morfin.
Okay, I'm gonna be brief. I know I only have 2 minutes. Again, this is Karen Morfin. I come as APT DEI chair. I also come as APT co-chair with Paulina for APT POTS, but I'm speaking as an individual. With that said, I went ahead and reviewed 2021 SARC versus 2019. And in a equity day like this, I think it's really important to point out the discrepancies on this report, especially when it comes to parent engagement. Under this new leadership, APT has constantly being referred to as not the official parent organization. This has been said public to us, even though SARC and WASC reports, along with the charter, state otherwise. I agree with the current leadership that the charter mentioned other groups. However, APT is the official organization in both SARC and WASC. This language was purposely removed from the new report 2021. This language has always been in this report, at least on the current other administration. I would like to know, and I would like the board to consider, what is the intent, what was the purpose of this, and what is the impact? This is not a two-way conversation, so what I would assume the intent. The intent that this comes to me as a reader, as a person of color, and member of all those groups, is to invisibilize the work that we have done over the years. I wanna also point out to the board that both APT and APT POTS have been the only groups that actually have challenged this leadership on their DEIB work on actually some illegal practices that were either done not in purpose, I would wanna assume, and I feel that the exclusion of these two groups purposely on this report, it reads as either retaliation or a clear violation of DEI practices. Please consider this as you're reading both of these reports. Constella has had also been included as means of communications of parents on the 2019 report. It has been excluded on this report. Lastly, there are some factual information that has been omitted on the groups that were listed. And there is some information that is clearly inaccurate. There are parents here from the anti-racist group that can attest to that. What is listed as being the relationship from the anti-racist group with parents, with teachers and students is not happening. Anti-racist group is an organization that focuses on parent support, training, educational materials, but the description on this arc is inaccurate. I would like for everyone to consider a revision to leave the prior language as it stands and to really have a conversation with the community about this. And with that, I'm gonna finish my public comment.
Thank you, Karen. Brad Erickson.
I already spoke.
Oh, okay. I thought you also had something on the SARC. Sorry.
I said it earlier.
Okay. Chris Bradburn.
Thank you. So I was looking over the SARC that's being proposed, and I'm concerned about specifically what I'm seeing on page, the second to the last page, which is about teacher and administrative salaries. The numbers that are on there are just wrong. A lot of that information, and it's just flat wrong. It looks to be the same as what's on the OUSD. So I guess my question is, what is supposed to be on the SARC in that particular form? It's a little unclear to me, but those salaries match or closer to what OUSD is. And I don't, it's really a question, what is supposed to be there?
I don't know the SARC well enough, okay. But we'll have board discussion and staff discussion about it as well.
Okay, thank you.
Maury Reardon.
Thank you, Elise. I would like to ask the board to consider using language from the previous year and altering it to add new groups. Under the parent engagement section, there is an erasure of the APT, the Association of Parents and Teachers. And I just wanna call this, like, we just found this out in the last hour. So we are coming directly to this meeting from finding that out. And I'm just gonna be transparent. There's been tension from last year in charter renewal, sometimes with the board, sometimes with school leadership. We've tried to kind of bridge that this year and have dialogue. And I have to say that seeing the APT removed, actively removed from that section is not a bridge building move. And also pods, because we know that a top issue at the school right now is equity, and our kids with disabilities and their families deserve to be in that document as well. As Karen said, these are the two groups that have had some kind of disagreement with school leadership at times. And it just didn't feel it didn't feel good at all. It didn't feel democratic to see that removed from the report. Also, Constella as the only means of parents communicating on a platform together in this school is not mentioned in there this year as well. So as you can tell, we have a serious concern about this. And again, we're hoping that you're open to rewriting that section. Thank you.
Thank you. Paulina?
Thank you, Elise. So I, like others, am very concerned about the APT and PODs removal from the SARC. So my son is Julian, he's in 11th grade. He is a student with a disability. I was also formerly the co-president of the APT and still support wholeheartedly the organization. And as Karen mentioned, I'm the co-chair of PODs. We stood up wholeheartedly with the school, the AP, when I say we, I mean the APT, to renew the charter. We worked long hours, and when you asked us to stand with you, we stood with you in support of the charter in front of the OUSD. And many of us have gone to meetings with you in support of the school. And when we're asked to do that, we do it. And we did that in good faith. And we also, in that charter, the APT is named, and so is the Parents of Students with Disabilities, which is what POD stands for. I think somebody asked that in the chat. To see both of those organizations removed when they were clearly listed in for years in the SARC, is not only erasure, but it is, as Karen said, feels like retaliation for the years of advocacy and activism by parents who want to build a better school. And for those of us who, when asked to support, do support, to see these names, these organizations completely erased is just a slap in the face. I also just want to reiterate that Constella is an extremely important tool to be able to have two-way communications with parents. It was mentioned in previous SARCs as something to hold up the democracy of OSA. That has been diminished, and that power is being taken away from the APT, and now it has been removed from the SARC. If it's going to be removed as a tool for parents, then it should be mentioned in the SARC that it has been removed as a tool for parents to be able to communicate with each other. And finally, democracy is an important foundation of this country. We've seen how important, and we've all lived how important it is to all of us over the last couple of weeks at least. And I hope that in this school, we can also respect and stand up for democracy, an alliance for parents and teachers, PODs, people of color, students of color, Black and Indigenous people, that we can actually say, no, we don't erase them in this school, and no, we will not silence their voices. And so, you know, please, masking at this point that you undo what's been done, because it is harmful. Thank you.
The next one I have, Maya and Chino. I'm not sure which person, both people are listed.
I think we'd both like to speak.
Oh, okay.
But we could speak at different times.
That's okay.
I'm Maya Scott Chung, they, them. Oh, okay. Well, we're co-parents of Luna Scott Chung, who is in 11th grade in theater and has been here for 5 years since 7th grade. I first of all have to say that we are a multiracial family. Everyone in our immediate family has disabilities, and we're also a transgender and queer family. And all of our communities are groups that face inequities in the world, in our communities, and also at OSA. We're really excited to see the Alliance for Parents and Teachers becoming predominantly people of color and having trans and queer leadership visible and having disabled communities be included in a core way in an equity lens. So this is actually the first time that we ever really felt represented since we've been at OSA is this new Alliance for Parents and Teachers. I'm very, very disturbed that OSA as the school has not let the whole school know about Constella, done training on Constella to have us be able to communicate with each other, because parent organizing and teacher organizing and building relationships is how we better the school and really have our involvement and our voices and our creative contributions to be heard. So we are members of the Alliance. We're members of Parents of Disabled Students. I'm part of the anti-racist group that's predominantly white folks in alliance with the Parents of Color group that Chino is a part of. And we just started an LGBTQIA group last week because we wished there was one, and we know we're here, and many of us are intersectionally part of all these different communities. So it's just very disturbing to me to erase both the contributions and the access to these student groups, and especially in a time where inequities are just at an all-time high in most of our lives in our country and our communities. We really need to be able to communicate and organize. So I feel very, very grateful for the leadership of Alliance of Parents and Teachers and of PODS and the Parents of Color, and just really encourage the school to amplify and make visible and audible to the whole community how to access Constella and these groups. And we found it really hard to find even that these exist because they haven't been supported by the school as a whole. Would you like to?
I mean, the only other thing I would add is that this school is in Oakland, California, and we live in Oakland, you know, and it's crucial that parents of color, students of color be represented in Oakland School of the Arts, which is in downtown Oakland. I think having these groups give a big message to other families who live in Oakland and the Bay Area that, you know, that we want to be inclusive, and we want this to be a, you know, we want a lot, you know, and hopefully we want to represent the city of Oakland in this school. And so I just think it's crucial, you know, especially now, as Maya said, with the rise of white supremacy and, you know, groups like QAnon, that's just, you know, we really need to fight as hard as we can and be as visible and as vocal as we can be.
Thank you both.
And I also just in the time of the pandemic, communities of color and people with disabilities and to some extent LGBTQ communities as well are disproportionately impacted and marginalized for vaccine access and you know, and COVID impacts. So it's especially important.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
I believe we've gotten all the public comment on that agenda item. Okay, so I wanna put it to board discussion, move to board discussion. I wanna start by Mike, Adrian, Jason. This is supposed to be approved by February 1st. If it doesn't get approved, all right, we'll be out of compliance. Is that a big deal?
Yeah, we do need to have something in. It's highly recommended to have something in first. That said, we did hear a few recommendations in terms of how we might make a motion that would accomplish both, remedying some of the concerns that were brought up and still moving the SARC forward today.
Yeah, so I'd specifically like to make a motion that we, rather than delete the language that had been in the 1920 SARC report, the first paragraph that talks about the APT is a formal body and manages parent volunteers, et cetera. And the second paragraph about Power School and Constella, that both of those paragraphs be put back in to the section C, and that all the language that's in here now can be kept, except I think Karen had made the point that there was a slight inaccuracy about the relationship between the anti-racist education activism group and the POC group that should be corrected. And otherwise this language is fine. And then at whenever point it's appropriate, I would like to speak in favor of my motion, but if there's a second,
so and we
at my
we,
turn.
Wei-Ling, let me just clarify. So it's, you want to go back to the previous description of parent engagement.
Specifically to add paragraphs 1 and 2.
Okay.
From in section C engagement, from the 1920 SARC report, and just take those two paragraphs and add them to okay. the two paragraphs that are before us,
and then
today,
and then the sentence or two about Power School Constella.
That's paragraph number 2.
Okay,
in all right. The old SARC report.
Okay,
Wei-Ling, there's a comment in chat regarding adding pods.
Oh yeah, I think section 2, paragraph 2, specifically that I'm talking about bringing over, it talks about, it does mention pods, but I don't know if somebody has a sentence that they maybe want to fill that out more, I could add that to the motion, or we could maybe have somebody amend it.
I think for, to keep it as clean as possible, if we can live with how it being mentioned, I'd like to keep it that so it can just be cut and paste paragraph 1 and 2. And then we want to do Chris had, I want to make sure we get clarity, and we can just say that the administration salaries are correct and reflect what they're supposed to. So paragraph 1, 2, and then Chris, clarity on the administration. Is that the amendment you're suggesting?
Yes.
Okay.
Because the district is OSA in the SARC, I believe. And then the comparison is the state. That's how I would assume it should be read.
Thank you, Mark. All right.
Other board members?
Yes. Hi, I'm Ian. I use he, him pronouns. I think everyone in their life should bake some babka.
Okay, I need board members. Can you, David, maybe put everyone on?
I don't know what this is.
It's an enriched bread dough that looks way fancier than it is. So it's very impressive with.
Okay. Other board members.
So, go ahead, Steve.
Go ahead, Mike.
Okay.
I was just going to say, I don't know enough about this, but my question is, and the recommendations seem reasonable to me, but I don't understand. I'd like to understand why the wording may have been changed and this was taken out of the document.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going. I mean, edits were made, this was brought forward, and I don't necessarily go to ill intent or malice intended by the removing of any editing that happened, but I'd love to hear a little bit more about it. I do know, and maybe Adrian or Susan Lefkowitz can comment on this, but the data shown in this for some reason is 18-19 data for the salary stuff. To somebody's point a few minutes ago, I've heard both answers to whether the district is considered the standalone charter school, the charter school network, or the district that authorizes said school. So I'm just not clear on that, but I'd love to hear about why the language was changed from prior years, echoing what Steve said.
Hi, Mike, I'm sorry. Can you and Steve clarify the questions, which part you're?
Yeah, I guess, I don't have the last year's one here in front of me, but allegedly a couple paragraphs or sentences or references were taken out of one of the sections. I'm not 100% clear which one. And that's, you know, obviously caused some consternation. I just love to hear about why that edit was made and what the intent of it was, et cetera.
Yeah, definitely. I can answer that. So the current SARC questions, the prompts as we understood them was, what's new this year? Not, you know, each year this is just a pro forma document that gets filled out. And this was what's new and exciting at the school this year. And so this was absolutely no ill intent at all or disrespect to previous groups that have been mentioned in it, as much as here are a bunch of new and exciting things that have happened at the school.
Thank you, Romy. Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Can I ask
Romy? Sorry, just one clarifying question. Would you agree to add those items back in that Wei-Ling mentioned?
Yeah, I think it's important. Let me see if I can pull the previous SARC that the language is gonna be pulled into. I think it might be worth looking at it because, well, let me just pull it up for the board if you can give me a moment.
Can I ask a question while you're doing that? This is Steve. The public comment really resonates with me, and it's really heartfelt. And I guess I have a question from and I don't want to minimize whether the language is in there or not, so I want to clarify that. But I just want to understand from a policy or governance perspective, what is meaningful in terms of going forward, whether that is in there or not. And again, I'm not trying to discount any of it, because words matter. I'm just trying to understand.
And I apologize. I was trying to multitask there. And so I might have I'm sorry. Can you ask that question again, Mr. Borg? I'm so sorry.
So I'll ask it. It is a public document. It's supposed to be the school accountability report card. It is a reporting of... It's basically a public reporting of different aspects of the school. And so it doesn't necessarily impact policy. I think it is just more representative of what do we believe. I think it should be accurate. I actually am willing to be late a month. I don't know if the other board members are comfortable with that. I'm willing to be late wait a month to approve it or try and get another meeting in order to make it. I just don't think this is something that should divide our community when we all really believe the same. Jason?
So two things. One is, you know, the SARCs are backwards facing documents. So what we're submitting on Monday, should we approve, is the 1920 SARC. It's not a aspirational document, but rather it's a reporting on what happened last year. So I think it is important that we be accurate and include the APT pods and all the different groups that played a role on our campus. I'm also concerned with some of the comments that were brought up by parents that I hope we can separate from just the document. And that is, you know, lots of allusion to the need to patch up relationships between especially parents of students of color, parents of students who are differently abled, and making sure that we've got some sort of indication of what work is being done to address those pieces. I think it would be problematic for us to delay sending in a document that's due to the state on Monday. When really it sounds like we have another issue that's also related to this. I'd be interested in us maybe having a separate agenda item next month where we look at what work is happening to improve relationships and communication with parent groups, including our independent parent groups, PODs, and APT, as well as specifically looking at communication with parents from communities that have been historically marginalized.
So Jason, you said you're not comfortable. Sorry, I just want to clarify. Jason said you're not comfortable not waiting. You'd rather just revert back to the language?
I'd rather add the language from last year's document from the 18-19 SARC relating to APT and PODs so that we've accurately stated what happened last year, but also address some of these concerns that we're hearing from parents.
I got that.
It seemed larger. Yeah.
I have a question. Josefina, your hand was up and down and it's up again. Or did you have a, you were up first?
Yes, thank you. I'm sorry. I thought my hand was up and I didn't see it. Anyway, I would support both of the things that have been brought up. First of all, adding the language that includes the APT. I am a little concerned about making sure we have the right language because this is a snapshot of the school. And, you know, I think we should present as accurately as possible. And then the second, you know, suggestion to bring back to the board as a full board agenda item, the parent engagement report and with a specific emphasis on communication. In looking at the SARC and under the section that says opportunities for parent involvement school year 2020-21, there is language in here that says parent engagement efforts were reimagined by the leadership team led by the new executive director, Lisa Sherman Colt, over the summer. And that language is a little concerning to me because, you know, I think the collaboration between the school administration, the leadership team, and parents is absolutely fundamental to the school. So I would just hope, and this may be accurate, may not be accurate, but that reimagining of parent engagement involved parents themselves. So I would also like that sentence to be changed if there was a collaborative effort to reimagine parent engagement to fully reflect that fundamental collaboration.
Weiling, I don't know how to find the button that Josefina is using, but
I know, to raise her hand.
You want to go first? I have a couple thoughts.
Yeah, sure. If you don't mind, that would be great. So I think a lot of people are, I completely agree with what's being said about we want the document to accurately reflect what is happening at the school. You know, I would still lean towards putting the language back in and then really resolving that we're going to live into that language, right? We're going to really embrace it. And, you know, I just wanted to state a couple more things that in our, and having this conversation down the road that I think are also important to acknowledge, maybe in the WASC, maybe in the next document we put forward. But, you know, the APT is in the charter as the organization that nominates the three parent representatives. And it's in the charter, it explicitly says that our duty is to represent and provide advocacy for underrepresented families of students with diverse backgrounds in ethnicity, race, gender, grade levels, students with learning differences, and other representative groups. So that was very much the intention between having, you know, and that's the duty of the APT is to really raise forward representatives who are going to, you know, from a place of real, I guess, influence by being on the board, are going to advocate for our families. And that I think that, you know, this entire section engagement is about what is the school doing, and I'm going to emphasize these words, to seek parent input into decision making. To seek parent input into decision making, right? And there's a great value to volunteer groups. There's a great deal of value to, you know, the school having town halls where they inform the parent body of, you know, what's happening in the school, you know. And I think that the discussion that we should have at our next meeting is about how are parents giving input into decision making, right? And that means, you know, being you know, truly listened to by the administration and the folks who you know, do the budget, who decide staffing decisions, right, who are really in positions of power, you know, that they have that ability, right? And then the other thing I would say is that I think it's really important that we recognize that APT, especially since the timing of it was, and I think a lot of folks know that, you know, Paulina and I were the co-presidents of the APT last year, and we took great pains to really make sure that we were reaching out to and actively recruiting parents of color, parents of students of color, LGBTQ folks and parents of LGBTQ students and student, you know, parents of students with disabilities. We wanted very much for the APT to be an organization where people felt welcome and people felt empowered. And so, you know, I think it would be really send the absolute wrong signal to take APT out of the equation just when it's starting to sort of, you know, move in that direction in a very kind of explicit, intentional way. And I think that the APT, and it's precisely the you know, it's the only parent organization. It's like somebody mentioned, it's been in the SARC since 2011, at least. It's in the WASC, it's in the charter, you know, and it's an independent 501c3, right? And so it's the only parent organization that's truly independent where the voice of parents are sort of, you know, are driven by the parents themselves. And I think that's a very important, you know, we need to recognize that role that the APT has. And so, yeah, so those are my comments. I would speak in favor of the motion. I don't know if we have a second, and also the adding to the discussion just furtherance of, you know, what are our communication systems.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, thank you. I don't have a second yet, Wei-Ling. But I want to acknowledge one thing and then a couple sort of clarifying questions. This school would not be what it is, and the charter would not have been renewed in the way it was without the parent community and all the different slices of the parent community. And as a board member, I see that every day, every time I'm involved with OSA. It's a huge part of the community. We've got three parent reps on the board and several current or former parents on the board as well. So I think that's a huge part of the community. So I trust the intentions of Romy and the staff that wrote this thing in the way they understood it to be written. And I don't take it as it was meant to be an affront or an exclusion of anything. So all that said, my question, maybe this is for you, Jason, can a SARC be amended? In other words, if we do file something to meet the deadline, could we tweak it later? And if not, could we do some type of a motion where the board approves, votes tonight to approve the executive committee to work mm-hmm. with folks between now and Friday to, you know, tweak something that feels better for submission? So that's kind of two questions and a suggestion.
I guess, Mike, just to respond to the part that I that you asked me. Unfortunately, we don't know, right? Because it's up to the California Department of Education. Sometimes if we file something past the deadline and you appeal or ask for a change, they'll work with you. Sometimes the answer is no. So we just don't know.
Gotcha. So then what I'm wondering is whether we could deputize the executive committee or appoint, I don't know, a couple folks to tighten this down. I'm trying to integrate a lot of things. I don't think I can quite second Wei-Ling's motion just yet because it feels like it's been appended a few times or there's been a little bit of piling on along the way. But I'll let others speak. I'd love to hear from Ms. Woods and Adrian and others' thoughts on this.
Mike, I like your idea of deputizing the executive committee. And unless there's other discussion, I would move to do that.
Okay, so I think we have to finish on Wei-Ling's motion, and then we can take on, Mike, whatever motion you want to make about an executive committee.
Wei-Ling, can we hear your motion one more time?
Yes, my motion was pretty simple. It was to add the two paragraphs from the 2019 and 2020 SARC in section C the paragraph that starts with parents have a large role in the life of OSA, and that the one that says OSA uses par school system of notification, those two paragraphs. And I would say just that by putting them back in the SARC, we are also making a commitment to really live into those commitments. Yeah.
And I can, so if that's all it is, if somebody can just put that language on the screen with a screen share, I'd be okay with it. But it felt like through chat and some other things were getting appended to that. If I misunderstood, if that's all it is, I would second that and vote tonight. But I'm just trying to figure out whether there's other sort of issues that people want to get in there. And sorry, Josephine, you got to show me how to do the hand raise button. I don't know. I don't think I have one, but you had yours up before I started talking. I didn't notice. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's okay. If you want to use the hand button, go to the three little dots on the top corner of your screen. And one of those options that comes down is the raise hand, lower hand. I was also going to ask that the language that's being suggested to be added back from last year's SARC, if somebody could put it up on the screen, I think that would facilitate a vote on this.
Anyone? I also want to let me do it.
Thank you. Oops, Diane, lost. Were you going to say something?
Oh, great. Somebody just did it.
Right. I also was going to thank Jason because clarifying that this is a descriptive document that codifies 2020, and we as a community still have to communicate over through 2021 about how we're going to work together and work around this. At least that's my view.
Okay, so the amendment right now is the first two paragraphs, also adding those back. And then I just want to make sure we ask for double checking on the salaries, because that came up for Chris. And then I don't know if there's a place for where we would put COSAT's formation. Those are the three things. If I would, Wei-Ling, if you'll amend your amendment to include COSATs.
Yes.
I think we have all the big things, knowing that this is a backward looking document and we need to look forward and think about parent, beyond engagement, parent decision making, parent input into decision making as one of our February topics.
It's a 2021 school year, so it's both back and forward. It's the current school year. It's under this heading, opportunities for parental involvement school year, and then what we're modifying is 2021.
Got it. Okay.
So I'm backing off my suggestion that we punt this. I'm actually okay with that motion.
Seconding it?
Yes, I'm seconding Wei-Ling's motion. That's another way of saying that I support it. Thank you, Elise.
Where are we adding COSATs? Because that might be an opportunity to add pods explicitly. I know I made the motion, but it was at somebody's suggestion. So I just wanted to review where that would go.
I'm going to have to leave in 3 minutes. I have another board meeting kind of stacked one on top. So hopefully if we vote, I can go ahead. And...
Okay. Can we add the where appropriate, or we find a place to add it? There's got to be a place for it.
Yeah. Let's allow the administration to find the right place for COSATs and POTS.
Before we finish this up, I have one note on the salaries. It's my understanding that that's automatically plugged in there. Can someone from staff confirm that?
The section where Chris was mentioning the administrative salaries, is that the one you're asking about?
Yes, I believe that's the one.
That section is not a section that we on site can edit. That section pertains to the district and statewide comparing districts. That particular section does not include OSA administrative information.
Okay, then that doesn't need to be amended.
That was my understanding as well, yeah.
Thank you.
We can't edit that section.
Okay, so we have a motion. It's the two paragraphs we looked at, as well as finding a place where appropriate to put in COSATs. Is that your motion, Wei-Ling, not to put words in your mouth?
It is my motion, yes.
And we have a second from Mike. Okay. Any more board discussion before we take a vote?
I just want to bring up Miss Bradburn said that there's incorrect textbook information. Should that be added to be something that we change as well?
Yeah, do you want to add that, Wei-Ling?
Yes.
About the middle school social science textbook.
Or I will accept Nora's amendment.
Thank you.
I will second the acceptance of Nora's amendment.
Thank you. Okay, any more board discussion?
No.
Okay, I'm going to take a vote then. Josefina?
Yes.
Adrian?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
Elise? Yes. Wei-Ling?
Yes.
Jason?
Yes.
And Diane, did we catch you in time? Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So at the SARC as amended passes. And in February, we will continue on talking about relationships and strengthening the community. Thank you.
Oh, wait, I found this reaction I can do there.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Okay, executive director's report.
All right. I just would like, before I start, and we can go to the deck, please, just to share that in this time of remote learning, we were really reaching out to parents, and over 225 parents signed up for many, many different groups. So I would really like to publicly say that the intent to omit certainly was not there. I would like to say that, you know, APT is a strong group. It is part of many, many parent groups. There's over 20 to 25 parent groups that came out this year. And that's where we started from last summer. So that was just with parents climbing on board to support, to help, to push in many, many different forms. And that has been started since the fall. So I just wanted to share that. Tonight, we have a full, robust program for everybody. I wanted to give a very short piece as the executive director because the real push tonight was to present on two big pieces. The first is a lovely school report on, we're calling it Equity One, because this is the student-facing piece. This is how students are being monitored at the school, what student supports are being put in place for our students. And we have a team that came together that's gonna be giving a lovely data-driven report to you. Also tonight, we have a finance report. And again, I wanna preface this by saying this is a in the moment, where we are right now with a three-year budget from 2021 to 2024. And then Catherine is going to share an advancement report. Next slide, please. So the big picture goals tonight is the board had asked me to report out mid-year and at the end of the year on four different things. And if I tried to report on all four of them in one night, we would be here very, very late. So in talking with the board, we had I had shared in November, which was our last time that we met, that we would bring two of these pillars to the January meeting and two to the February meeting. So tonight, Equity One is going to be presented. And I did want to acknowledge the hard work and perseverance that our teachers and staff have done. So Mr. Oz, Ms. Zog, Ms. Bradburn, Mr. King, Mr. Taylor, Ms. Schleimer, Ms. Humphrey, and Ms. Grin are all contributed to this report that will be shown. And then we're gonna have a big report tonight on sustainability. And again, this is a in the moment budget currently, and then going 3 years forward. We were very strategic in that although we are hearing about possible funding coming in, we did not want to put that in the three-year report until we knew that we had a bottom line number, all right? And for February, we'll be meeting to address what we're calling Equity 2. Equity 2 is all the behind the scenes work that is happening at the school. This is our work with Candace this year and putting together a lot of outcomes. This is our work that UMA has done with a lot of research and developing and mapping out a plan to put a task force together for next year. And this is about working with our Step It Up program and supporting that program more so that it can grow in the coming years through partnerships. And then we'll be talking about the arts programming because there's a lot of questions around how are we supporting sixth graders stepping into our school that have not auditioned. Next slide, please. So a quick few updates before we get to those reports are, I did want to report out that on Wednesdays, the OSA administration is working closely with COSATS, and we are having negotiations for 2 to 3 hours every Wednesday, and that work is continuing. We also recently filled out some state forms called reopening guiding documents, and both of these forms were checklists and mandated for schools so that we were making sure we were in compliance and applying all that we needed to be in compliance prior to reopening. And those are due February 1st. We're also in the midst of WASC, which is an acronym for the Western Association of Schools and Colleges. There's a visit, it will be a virtual visit from May 3rd through 5th. So we wanna please ask everyone to mark their calendars. And as we hear from the visiting WASC committee, they will be sharing with us when they will be holding meetings, and that will be with all members of our community. And then the last piece is the strategic plan. So next slide, please. The strategic plan is just starting to be formed by the leadership team at OSA. We put this piece together so you could put a face to names. This is administration and key management folks and counselors and people from all different lenses of the school that have joined some pillars. Next slide. The pillars are four pillars. One is our community, a focus on academics, a focus on arts and sustainability. So each of these members have joined a pillar. This all began a few weeks ago. We had a lovely meeting this morning where we're starting to really just look at data and map out a framework. Once this framework is put into place, next slide, please. We are going to then come to the OSA community. So probably in mid to late February, the OSA members, leadership members that are representing pillars will reach out to the board because each of our board members also sits on a committee. And we will be getting valuable feedback from the board at that scheduled meeting around the strategic plan of the school. We'll then on March 2nd be able to get input from family, and this will be going to a town hall meeting in the morning where we will be organizing a facilitated conversation where we gather input from families. On March 3rd, which is a Wednesday, this will be our professional development day from staff. that they can provide input. We'll be working with students. We haven't quite got the date yet, but that will be coming. May 5th, we'll be circling back to our employees to give them a rough draft and provide some final input. May 27th is a community review with the board in our community. And then on June 10th, the final will be shared with the group. So next slide. So I had a very short abbreviated piece because we have lengthier, more meaty reports to be shared, but that's where I'm at. That's the closure of my report.
Thank you, Lisa. Any public comment on the executive director report? Okay. Any board comment or discussion or questions? I have a question. Do we have to, is there a board section for the WASC where you need a certain number of board members that need to meet or talk to the WASC team?
Yes, and so that's where I was saying the visit will be May 3rd through 5th. So when the visiting committee connects to us and lets us know when they want to have those conversations, we will be able to schedule that.
But it won't be all of us. It's just a subgroup.
It certainly could be a subgroup.
Okay. Josefina, you have your hand up? Or are you just showing
just a quick question. No, just a quick question. And that is, in terms of the process that you laid out for the development of the strategic plan, I'm wondering about how the equity work will be incorporated into that process, given that you also talked about the task force being constituted next school year. So I'm just wondering about what's the crosswalk between these two really critical pieces.
Sure, absolutely. Very good question. So these four pillars, the first piece under them will be on diversity, equity, and inclusion, because it is important for us to weave that into the tapestry and fabric of the whole school. So if we are looking at that from all four pillars, we are going to be connecting data that we've done with Candace, data that we have done with conversations that we've had and information that we have to then put into each of these. So the idea really will be to build out the strategic plan with setting goals and backwards mapping those goals with benchmarks and an action plan that have metrics, so we're holding ourselves accountable. In addition to the idea that DEI will be a part of every single pillar.
Any other board questions or discussions? Oh, Paulina?
I just had a question. I know you don't have to answer questions from the public, but for the WASC process, I wonder if Lisa can speak to the parents that will be involved and whether the official official organization of parents, which is the APT, it will be invited to that, and whether COSATS, as the official representation of the teachers, will be invited to be a part of that, and whether any of the other groups mentioned in the charter will be involved in the WASC process.
Right. So the WASC is a really process for the entire school and has to have representation from everybody. So, and it has been my practice that in doing previous WASCs at other schools that we open this up. And for parents that would like to be a part of the groups, they are welcome to attend. So we will have a better understanding of the groupings and the timing of all of that once we get closer to the WASC. I want to give a big shout out and thank you to Julie Humphrey, who has been facilitating our collective work as a community doing the WASC, And yes, so an invitation will be extended to all if they would like to participate.
Okay, we are on to the principal's report.
All right, can we get, there we go. Hey everyone, hey board, hey parents, hey, Mike. Hey students, hey teachers. Getting a little late start, but we do have quite a bit to show you. So you're welcome if you love data, and I'm sorry if you don't, but we're gonna jump in and do part two. If we could get to the next slide, please. We did an update back in, I think it was September, like late September. This is part two, late January. And then you guys will get part three, I think on May 27th or 28th, whatever that board meeting is there. And we're trying to share data that we've always produced as a school, but haven't been great at sharing outwardly. So we're excited to show you guys, and also for the parents who are in attendance to be able to see and get a better sense of the data that drives us. So really two purposes today: provide an overview of how instructional and pedagogical modifications are taking place for remote learning, and then also share updated academic data. Next slide, please. Just want to remind you, last time when we did this, I said I'm not going to give you the whole rundown on how all these things work, because it would take forever to do it again. But quick reminder just of the things that we look at in measuring academic excellence: CASP, which is the state testing. It is resuming this spring. You probably have questions like I do on what does that look like remotely, if that's the reality we're in, and how is this going to, you know, compare to our previous data and serve as a baseline for future data. A lot of answers, a lot of questions that I don't have the answer to, but as far as I understand it, we will be doing the CASP testing this spring. We do our own internal benchmark testing. We've been doing this routinely, predominantly in math and language arts at this point. The majority of the data you're gonna see tonight is around that, and it's been integral. I'm very pleased that we had the foundation set, because it's our greatest tool in remote learning to monitor student progress. It's something we've been building over the past couple of years. We do grade point average analysis. Grades don't tell the whole story, as there's inequities that lead to how grades are assigned and who has access to which classes, including the weighted classes, the non-weighted classes, all of those. But they are a reality and an indicator of potential college acceptances and things that will, you know, lead to students' future successes. And then graduation rate, dual enrollment, which is our City College presence on campus that we've been building over time, and just our general program of study. Next slide. I'm not gonna read through all this. I'll leave it here for a second. I'm presenting on behalf of Mr. Taylor tonight, who wanted to put together two slides for you. One on what are the engagement strategies that are happening in social science, and another on the modifications that are being made for remote learning. We'll hold here for 15 seconds or so and probably move on. All departments have been meeting to discuss specific to their department, how are we adapting for this remote environment, and are constantly revisiting that question and modifying as we learn more and more about this new situation to us. Next slide, please. All departments were also charged with the task of figuring out what to do when you only teach 2 days a week now, when you're used to having 4 to 5 days a week with your students. And really it leaves with two options in terms of content: reducing content in terms of cutting out topics that we're not seeing it as quite as critical, or figuring out a way to spend less time on some of the content. Working as a department, they communicate, you know, on the sequencing from grade level to grade level. Next slide, please. And I'm going to hand it over to Ms. Schleimer, who actually has a sample lesson for you. Ms. Schleimer, are you still here?
I'm still here. Buenas noches a todos. Soy Sandra Schleimer, la maestra de español. And I don't have any data for you. I'm very sorry, but I wanted to invite you to participate in a little sample lesson. It's a Spanish 1 lesson that we did this morning. And for doing that, you'd have to go to nearpod.com in a different window. And once you get there, there'll be a red box that needs a code. And I just put the code in the chat, and that allows you to join the lesson.
Do you want us to do this?
Yes, please. Okay. Everybody, please join me.
We're limited to 75, right?
75, yes. I can have 75. So maybe my colleagues can hold off joining the lesson. So the link is up there. It's nearpod.com. And then you need the code from the chat to see the lesson.
Will our results be made public?
I do not have to make them public, but I do. I will see them.
Okay.
Mike, I can give you feedback if you'd like it. So I